I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. December is the month for Hollywood's feel-good films, many of which follow a recipe as familiar as Grandma's sugar cookies, but for some people, just as stale by January. Nothing Like the Holidays is a variation on that theme, but with a twist. Yes, it's a movie about the kids and assorted others returning to the family homestead, maybe for the last time. And it also tackles traditional themes like the conflict between the generations over what the kids want versus what the parents want for them. But the film also takes the plunge into such up-to-the-minute issues like the war in Iraq and what it means to be Latino today. Joining us to talk about the movie and also where this film fits into his very rich and diverse career is one of the stars of the film, John Leguizamo. Mr. Leguizamo, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
A pleasure, Michelle. I love being on NPR. It's my favorite radio network.
Oh, I'm so glad.
In the world.
Well, I was going to start by saying I've seen everything you've done, but then I thought, let me check. I'm not sure you've seen everything you've done.
I try not to see everything I've done.
Well, something like 80, almost 80 film roles, 5 Golden Globe Awards, an Emmy, theater. But anyway, your work is identified, I think, with a certain edge, whether it's your ongoing work on ER, maybe Romeo and Juliet. What made you want to do this film?
Well, I feel like we've never had a really successful all-Latin film. And it's something that everyone's trying to break because we know we got the audience out there. We know we got the money out there, the Latin audience and crossover audience. It's just, what is that cinema piece going to look like? And I think this might be it. You know, it needs to have a commercial value because Latin people, you know, in general, there's a lot of drama. So I know Latin people don't really want a harsh movie. They want to see an action film or they want to see a comedy. They want to see something that can get away from their lives. And I think this movie captures that. It's funny. It's complex. And it's real. And it's fun.
Tell me a little bit about your character, Mauricio. I bet you he's somebody a lot of people can relate to.
He's born in blue collar, Puerto Rican in Chicago, moved away to be successful, which his parents wanted him to be. He goes to New York to become a lawyer, high-powered, marries this very successful investment banker. She happens to be white. She happens to be Jewish. And he comes home after 3 years of being away. And, you know, he's getting older, so is his parents, and he comes back. And the typical thing, I think it happens in every ethnic group and race and religion, is that if you have parents who are blue-collar and they want you to be very successful, and you are that, then there's that fear that they think that you're better than them now that you are very successful. And it creates conflict in the movie, which I loved because I felt it's so real. You know, here I am coming back expecting parades and all that. I get none. And the dad loves my younger brother better. Well, I feel he does. So it creates this competition between me and my younger brother.
And I think the reason a lot of people can relate to this is that, just as you said, you know, on the one hand, he's done everything his parents wanted for him. On the other hand, now everybody's afraid he's turned into somebody that they don't recognize anymore. And then I want to play a short clip from the film. And in some ways, it feels like he's an outsider in the family. But in some ways, he's very traditional. And this is a clip from where your character, he's talking with his brother and sister in the film.
Right.
They've just learned that their parents are talking about getting a divorce after more than 30 years of marriage. Here it is.
You know what you sound like? You sound like people who aren't married. That's what you sound like, okay? Because let me tell you about marriage, all right? Sometimes you're in it, you feel like you don't want the same things anymore. And you start going at each other, and you go at each other, and you go at each other. But you stick it through. And at the end of that, you fall in love all over again, and that's marriage, okay? So don't tell me that mom and dad, after doing that all these years, don't got a little bit of love left for each other, okay? Because I'm not buying that.
We like that clip because it seems like Hollywood these days, you know, marriage isn't the most popular institution. It's played for laughs. Also, oftentimes I think the biracial or bicultural relationships are played for laughs. Do you think this film adds something to that? That's not just the punchline.
Right, right. I mean, which is trippy about making a movie like this is, how do you still make a funny movie and still have meaning and still make it deep and still get the laughs? And I think it's possible. I mean, you got to work extra hard. And it's what I've always tried to achieve in my work, is that I think you can do really dark pieces, really meaningful, really powerful, and still be hilarious. It doesn't have to turn into like a silly joke or just goofy. You can put real meaning into things. And that's always been my struggle in life with Hollywood. And in this movie, I found that we had the complexity of those issues, and we still had the hilarity.
How do you work that balance, though? Because on the one hand, you do want to explore the culture. I think one of the things that I think some people will find fun about this film is that you get the Puerto Rican culture. I mean, some people are kind of funny with it, like they have the flags and the coquito that they're serving at the holiday meal. You do get the culture. On the one hand, you don't, as an artist, want to be put into a box. How do you work that when you're choosing projects?
I don't mind
projects?
Being put into a box. I have no problems being a Latin man. You know, I mean, I embrace that with everything that God has given to me, that my culture has given to me. That's not the problem. The problem is bad portrayals and sort of a negative spin on who we are and an inappropriate take on who we are. You know, that's the problem. I always want to be a Latin man. You know, I played Toulouse-Lautrec in Moulin Rouge. I'm light-skinned, so I can get away with it. I can pass sometimes, you know, in some circumstances. And some of my other Latin colleagues aren't as light-skinned, so it's harder to pass, you know, but I'm fine playing a Latin man.
But the reason I brought that up is that does not seem to have happened to you. Although I will say that there are some of the actors in this film, I bet you they're glad to have a role where they don't have a knife in their hand.
I mean, at the beginning of my career, that was the case. I mean, when I started acting in the late 80s, I mean, that's all that was offered to you. I mean, I went to NYU. I studied with some of the great acting teachers, and everything that was offered to me was killer, gangbanger, or you were just incredibly subservient without any dimensions. And that's what was offered to you. That's why I started to write my own stuff, because I just felt like I don't need to be demeaned like this. I work too hard to have to do this to myself or to my people. I just want roles that represent the experiences that I have had.
You're also a woolly mammoth in Ice Age, right, too?
Yeah, Sid. The Sloth. This is true.
The Sloth. And you were also a voiceover for a video game.
Coming up, yeah.
Right? And you're a ringtone.
I'm a ringtone.
Yeah,
I'm
you know, you
ringtone.
Can. Do you know? Yes, you can.
Oh,
download
I'm a Sid the Sloth ringtone.
Because I'm a ringtone. Did you know that you can?
No,
download
not my
yourself?
Voice, but I'm a character, right? Well, I better see some pay off of that. I want to see some royalties. Then I'm calling my lawyer after this talk.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with actor, producer, writer John Leguizamo about his
caterer.
New film, Nothing Like the Holidays. And I hope we could talk more about you. We were talking about the idea that part of the issue with doing these sort of ethnic roles is that they're bad, you know, that they've got this, a narrowness to them.
Right,
because
right.
A lot of your work that you've produced and written deals with issues of growing up as a Latin man and everything, and your family and so forth. I wanted to play a short clip from, I mean, of course, people will have heard of Mambo Mouth, and forgive me,
Freak,
please don't.
Sexaholic.
Well, I was thinking Spicarama.
I knew what you were thinking.
I was thinking Spicarama, but I was told
I knew
when
you
I could
stuttered.
Get you to say it.
I know.
Not me.
You know, it's
send
it's wild
him
because
the mail, please.
I didn't mind,
not
I didn't
me.
Mind saying it. When I said it, I was so in the moment, and now things have changed a little bit, so the title is a little harder to say.
Well, tell me about that. Is it this whole N-word debate, the whole question of whether or the, you know, because the N-word, the W-word.
Right, we're in a different time now. We're in a different time, and Obama definitely sort of helps us bookend that time, that it's a time of unity, a time of letting go of all that nasty small-mindedness, you know? And when I did that, I was living that world, so it was so much a part of me. Now I feel like things are so much better.
I do want to play a little bit from Sexaholics, which was an HBO special, just so that people can hear a little taste of your work that you created and did yourself. Let's play it.
That's my boy, my little drunkaholic. That's why I'm going to share my secret scheme with you. But if you tell anybody, I'm going to have to kill you. I'm going to rent every room in this apartment. Until I own the building, till I own the block, I'm going to be the king of tenements. The Latino Donaldo Trumpo. That's right, because I didn't come to this country to be no damn servant. That's right, my father is no damn servant, Clink. Okay, calm down.
This is a clip where you're playing.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
I haven't heard it in a long time.
I enjoyed that.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's that whole, I think I remember around the time of some of your earlier work, there was a little bit of airing dirty laundry pushback.
Oh, for my family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why people shouldn't do that. And I recommend that most people who want to air family laundry do it under assumed name or change the names of your family members, because it does
A little hard when you say it's my father. That's a little hard to mask that.
It is tough. That's why you have to change your name then and call yourself something else so that when you say your father, my father, it's not really you. Because I think it is tough. I mean, if any other family member had done that to me, I would be very upset too.
Really?
Yeah. I did it because I had the arrogance of being an artist and it was my art and no one's going to tell me what to do with my art, not even myself. So I just got to let it be what it's going to be. But, you know, my family was very upset and very hurt by it, and I can understand, and I understand that. But luckily, they have price tags, and I bought my mom a brownstone, and she loves me again. And that's why I love her.
We're going to have to call Mrs. Leguizamo and get a second source on that and see what she has to say. Are there any roles or that you regret that you wish you could take back? I mean, for example, the other piece we were talking about earlier begins with the S. I'm not going to say it. You can say it.
Yeah, Spikorama.
That. If you had to do it over again, you think you'd do it differently?
I mean, I don't know if I could do it. I mean, I was in that certain time and I was feeling it very strongly, so I wouldn't take it back then. But now I'm a different man in a different time, so, you know, maybe I wouldn't write it the same way.
What about this question of retiring, particularly people who are of these groups themselves, like African-Americans? There's been this very vigorous debate over the course of the year. I think you were even part of it, over the use of the N-word and whether black comedians in general should retire the N-word, whether Latino comedians should retire the S-word, the W-word. What's your take on that?
It depends, man. I mean, you can retire it when it's no longer being used as something offensive to hurt you and to dismantle you. You know what I mean? If it's no longer out there, then you can totally retire it. I think there is a point of what Bill Cosby kind of said, that we need to show a different side of ourselves in spite of all that and be better than all that. And I think that's also important too. We got to have different kinds of comedians doing different kinds of humor. And, you know, what happens a lot with comics is they see one successful comic and they all want to imitate that success model, which is a problem, you know. But those people aren't as creative and they usually disappear. And then you have people like Chris Rock, who comes up with his own stuff out of left field all the time and has an intellectual point of view. And then you have Cat Williams, who's much more instinctual and much more fun that way. But I think, yeah, it has to be moderation.
Jimmy Kimmel recently did this skit where he goes to a barbershop and asks a group of African-American men when and how he can make fun of Barack Obama and when it crosses the line. You have any guidance on that? I just give you the short version. I can't give you the whole thing, but the short version was kids off limits, pit bulls off limits, talking about putting rims on Air Force, putting rims on Air Force One, okay. Michelle Obama on the line, talking about Michelle Obama's physique, maybe not.
Yeah, right. They gotta treat this man with respect because he's got such a hard job. And he hasn't messed up at all, so I feel a little sensitive about people making fun of him. But I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, try to do a Soul Train line or something. I wouldn't mind making fun of him like that. I mean, because
I think that would be deserved.
From what exactly. We've seen. You know, he can't dance, and that's all right. I want my president. My president doesn't need to dance. You know what I mean?
Is there a line you think that can be crossed? Is it a question of who it is that's making the joke?
Oh, that's always going to be an issue. I mean, if I want people making fun of Latin people, I want somebody who is Latin, who really has the right insight and perspective. I mean, do women want men making fun of them, or they want other women making fun of them? You want a person of your own group to be that oily diplomat, you know what I mean? Because they really have a perspective. And I still enjoy, you know, humor about, you know, us versus them. And that's still always fun. I mean, I want to hear other conversations. I mean, I don't want that to be the only comedy out there, because then that gets kind of boring and simplistic.
Tell me about what else you're working on.
Where God Lift His Shoes. It's a more of an anti-Christmas movie. It's a very dark version, beautifully rendered. It won a Humanitas Award for writing, San Sebastian Film Festival. We've raised over $1 million for the homeless with it. And it's about a dad, boxer, during Christmas, loses his job, and he has got a stepson that he's never got along with. He's got to scramble to get a job. So he tries 6 jobs, and he keeps losing every one of them, and they end up on the street. But through that whole struggle, he really gets this admiration and almost love for this stepson. And the kid was in it at 9 years old. He was phenomenal. I mean, he's going to be the Latin Brando someday.
And I don't know. How did that – you working on that at the same time as you working on this film? Yes,
I did it right before.
Was that weird? I mean, on the one hand, you're doing this very kind of – not cynical take, but a very serious take on the holiday subject. And then you turn around to do this more commercial project, getting a lot of promotion. I guess, is that just the duality of your life as an actor, right?
Right. I mean, it's the duality of my choices. You know, my favorite mediums are theater and independent movies. And the rest, you know, I dig, you know, to a certain point. But independent films, you do them and you don't know what's going to happen to them, you know. It's a tough economic market out there and every studio is struggling. And so films that are really small sometimes don't get enough backing and enough PR. But I mean, it doesn't take away from the joy that I had in making it.
Is there something you really want to do that we've talked so much about just over the arc of your career, how much has changed. I mean, where it started out from, you know, student or gangbanger, that was like the choice. And
right.
Now just this incredible array of things opening up to you, including historical films that I'm not sure people would have had an appetite for, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Who knows? But now at least you have the chance to get them
it's
in.
True.
So is there something you really want to do just that we can...
I mean, there's a lot of people, like real pieces and historic pieces that I want to do. I mean, Simon Bolivar someday is possible. He was the liberator of Latin America from Spain, and he was basically going to create the whole United States, the Latin version of it. He was going to unify. That's why a lot of Latin South American countries have the same color flag, because they were supposed to be one great country. So I find him fascinating. Trujillo, the president of Dominican Republic. I mean, there's so many great Latin historic figures, complex and, you know, some good, some not so good. But just to bring them out to air, to people see that what great contributions we've given to the world, how intellectually adept we are. I mean, that's always been my goal, because I grew up in America and had to fight a negative image. And so I don't want kids to feel that, you know, especially my kids.
Well, will you come back and see us?
Absolutely. When?
Whenever you got something to do. Whenever you got something to talk about.
Yeah, right. I'll find something to talk about.
Okay. John Leguizamo is one of the stars of the upcoming film, Nothing Like the Holidays. It's out in theaters nationwide tomorrow. He was kind enough to join us from our New York bureau. John Leguizamo, thank you so much for speaking with us, and happy holidays to you.
Oh, happy holidays to you.